Well, we wanted to kind of continue the discussion we began a couple of weeks ago. And if you'll recall, then we were kind of processing how we as a church can effectively reach out in love to the community that we have opportunity to reach, to Marina physically and beyond as the Lord gives us opportunity. And we had said that God is what he's... kind of in regards to what God is doing still, he's gathering people to himself. And like leavening a lump of dough, he's spreading his kingdom out farther and farther. We recalled the Old Testament witness to the fact that it's God's intention that his creation be restored from its fallen state unto the state that he has eternally in mind for it. And that is a state where things are reconciled back to God in Christ, where the estranged are brought close again and set in right relationship, forgiveness of sin being a part of that. But this union, this vine and branch union that we've been looking at in John 15, another significant part of that. So we remember the Abrahamic covenant that spoke of God bringing blessing through Abraham's family, and we note the scope of that to all the families of the earth. And we noted the prophetic witness that God intends for the knowledge of him to spread throughout creation as the water covers the sea. And we saw in the book of Revelation how it's God's intention that he would call to himself people from every tribe and every tongue. You remember the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations and so forth. The exhortation that Jesus had to his disciples before he ascended to hold out and wait in Jerusalem so for the Holy Spirit, and with the Spirit's empowering, they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. All of those kind of add up to an unmistakable thought that God is extending the reach. He intends to reach more. He's definitely not an us for and no more God. He is a God who intends to gather to himself for the purpose of intimate, right relationship, people from every tribe and every tongue. And there's still folk out there who have yet been brought into a close, vital relationship with the Lord. And the question that we're addressing is as those who have partaken and tasted of the good things of God and how sweet it is to be joined to him, how can we share with others what we know to be true, whether it is in message or in practical deed? But basically the thought that God has given us himself, his son, his message, an office to serve in, that is, we were just reading this morning, as ambassadors of his to the world that does not know him. God has given us. How do we give back to those who... the hurdle that I see is to those who really have no desire to receive anything that comes from us. They have no pre-existing predisposition to seek truth and seek love from the Christian church. Christian church seems irrelevant to them, and they are disinterested and maybe even disrespectful and disdaining of the church. So it's quite a hurdle to get over. We have this treasure, the knowledge of God himself, yet we have the hurdle of kind of figuring out how to effectively communicate it. You guys, I'm sure I don't have to give reason in your own lives, not reason, example, I mean, in your own lives, you know of people that you talk to, and they just have those that have no desire to hear what you have to say about Jesus. And as soon as you start talking about Jesus, flip goes the switch. chunk, you go into a category of those not to be listened to, and your effectiveness is diminished. So, what do we have to give and how do we give it away? We talked about that last week, and I recorded, not 2 weeks ago, I mean, and I recorded that message. It is online, and I want to just say to you guys that I was tremendously helped by going back and listening to that. I took the effort, I did took the time to take notes on what was said. And I actually typed them out and have them available for people after you leave today. Leslie has 4 copies. I can email you a copy. And it's meant to just be to foster a dialogue because, quite frankly, we have a hard time remembering what we each other said. As I was listening to the audio, I was going, oh, yeah, that's right. He said that. And then I remembered... after I listened to the audio, I thought, oh, wait, Ty was talking to me about something. What was he talking about? You know? And I didn't have that one on recording. I put down my recollection of here in these notes here, but he can represent himself. At any rate, I want to just briefly refresh us and then go forward, okay? So, you know, how do we give and, I'm sorry, what do we have to give and how do we give it away? We started out with probably the single most concise and meaningful contribution. Yvonne said, we can give love. And we could just wrap it up and go home if we could figure out how to apply that. With that, we can give love. And we have the love of Christ within us. So Jonathan piped in, we should pray on these questions. And so forth. In a prayerful way, how do we give love? Nancy, I know that I have not gotten everybody's point here, so feel free to correct or add to in the course of the conversation today, but just by way of bringing it back to mind. Nancy struggled with the simplicity of it and the fact that it's actually hard to do practically speaking. She says, I don't have anything to give. Everything I have to give is what he has given me. I must die to self and allow Christ to live in me. And she mentioned that the scriptures say that she needs to be prepared to give an answer. And I think she was referring to 1 Peter that says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Russ echoed that and said, yeah, we don't. It's not what we have to give, but what God has to give through us. Paul appreciated the love focus of Levon. I'm sorry, Yvonne. Oh, love on. Yvonne's name is Love On. All right, Leslie's back. Paul was saying that what we have to give is love, but he was cautioning us with what we all know to be the case, is that all love's not created equal. We got the love of the world and the love of God, and we want to strive to love, that is to let God's love work through us. That is not the love according to the world. Rob was saying that he is given us everything. He's given us our lives, this church hall, the message to share with the community. Jeff was saying that we've experienced and therefore want to provide that which God has given us. Love produces action. Jeff is a man of action. He said he wants to share the love that we have experienced. We have the love. How do we share it? How do we give people the life-changing experiences that we have gone through? And Rondell says that we have learned much about God, and he's loving and generous and compassionate, forgiving. How do we demonstrate that love? She mentioned Peter saying, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus, arise and walk." And she said that God has imparted things to us as we walk this journey of struggle. And I'm coming to understand, this is Rondell talking, I'm coming to understand him as he is, not as I want him to be, but who he wants me to be. This is who I am to you, God's voice, and this is how I want you to represent me to the world. Those different characteristics that God is pressing in on me cause me to be forgiving, generous, loving, compassionate. She challenged us to ask, what is the characteristic God is trying to show me, and how can I now represent him accurately to the world? How am I doing? Am I expressing your thoughts? There was some editing going on here, trying to get at the point in various things. I echoed that thought and said, as God transforms us, we live in this world as his witnesses, bearing witnesses to him as he is. So as God transforms us into his likeness, we bear witness of him as he is, not as we want him to be or as we first knew him to be. Debbie Bradford chimed in and called us, called God the source and us the conduits. It's sort of a picture in her mind that helps her to put things in proper perspective. And she echoed the theme that already came forward, that we have nothing to give apart from him. But each person is gifted by the Spirit and given circumstances through which God can work. As a body as a whole, what do we have to give? What does that look like in practical terms? And she mentioned that she was one of the people that went to the city council when we were getting permission to use this as a church facility. And the city council was kind of, some members expressed some chagrin. What good is a church going to do? You know, there's no tax revenue coming in from the church and so forth. She was feeling like we are a small body, but maybe we could even work with the city council. That was Debbie's input, to understand the needs of the community and be sensitive and responsive to those needs. Dave said there's two things we have to give, hope and joy, that he wanted to mention in addition to what was mentioned. He says we can be that to the community. I talked about the problem of disinterest that I've mentioned. Rob was saying that in addressing how to give it away, you hear this theme, we have nothing to give away. All that we have of any value is given from the Lord. We have the opportunity to share in this community. Often, he mentioned, and this is true, it's an opportunity that affords itself to an individual as opposed to necessarily us as a church. But how do we give it away? We create opportunities for people to learn the truth, but ultimately it's the Lord who gives, and the perspective is well taken. Nancy gave us a caution. Says we have to be cautious and careful not to compromise what he has given us to bring to others. It has to be the Lord flowing through us. Stacy mentioned several things. I'm going to read the parts that I highlighted. She said, as people join us with their baggage of misunderstanding, how are we going to receive them? Will we help them discover the truth about our Lord? He is revealing himself more and more. She added on a personal note, as I draw closer to him, he softens my heart and reveals more of himself to me. That is what I need to be giving to others. And she said other fine things too, but for the sake of time, I'll just keep on going down here. Jonathan said, as much as we want to give something, we need to let God guide us. He knows what needs to be done. And Yvonne gave us a nice little picture of when she was in 4-H growing up, that they had a saying, and the saying went something like this. I didn't get it totally, Yvonne, but you have ears for hearing what needs to be heard, your eyes are for seeing what needs to be seen, your voice for seeing the things that need to be said, your heart to be able to speak to those around you. And she likened that as Christians, God has given us these things so that we can give back to our community. We can hear people when they say, I feel empty, lonely, or in pain. We should open our eyes to be able to see them, our ears to hear them, and our heart and voice with our Christian teaching to be able to reach out to them when they need us. Well said. We can also give our hands to help. I brought forward the idea of inviting Paul and Virginia Friesen in concert with Pastor Kit and doing a conference, starting with the interests where people are at. I'm interested in a marriage and bettering my marriage, but coupling it with the presentation of the gospel that speaks to the issues that actually are related to marriage but lie somewhat underneath the practical aspects of husbands love your wives and so forth. Those being true, but set in a context where there's actually some greater gospel truth. Anyway, and then Ty got me after church and seized a little minute there before he left and talked about his own talking with people at work. And Ty, do you remember what you told me enough to come on up and share it with what you're saying? Okay.
Well, I probably should have taken notes from myself because I kind of just did it on the fly. I wasn't exactly sure what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, let me remind you. You were talking about almost being sensitive to creating an atmosphere where significant discussions could come up as opposed to sticking with the, you know, how's the weather, how's the ball game. And you were mentioning something about how it would be nice if you could say something like, oh, that question actually came up at church, and oh, we're discussing that, you know,
yeah,
type of thing.
Okay, now I remember. I was saying, like when Johnny was talking about when people walk by our church and you know that they have questions, but they're unwilling to walk in because they're just not going to come to a church because they're uncomfortable. And how really it's good for nothing if we just keep looking at people outside the church and go like, oh, I wish you would come in. Well, we'll pray about it. Maybe they'll walk in. And I'm not saying that that's wrong to pray for it, but in a practical sense, like when he's talking about action over here, like a little bit of action, that you know, God uses us, the hands and feet, to actually reach out to the community. So if wherever everybody is, we all know we come across people who don't believe. And that those are the type of people we could pose questions with when we're out in our regular day. And we could take questions from the church, from whatever we're learning, find a way to phrase it where we could just meet somebody that week or whatever and ask them, like, what do you think about that? Like, or what's your question about that? Or in a general sense, why don't you believe in God? Just why? Right? And then let them tell us and say, well, do you mind me taking your question to our church? And then we could present it at church. And you could listen to it on the recording if you don't want to come to church. So if you're uncomfortable with being here, and if you're uncomfortable with being like an apologist out in the world because it's hard to be on the fly and all of a sudden just be like, I know, I'll answer that question for him. I got it all figured out. It's better to bring it to the body and say, well, what, out of a love direction, how could we answer that question? And you can listen to it in a safe space. And if you feel comfortable or you find it interesting that we're answering that question that way, maybe they may not want to come here, but who knows where it leads them. So if you're trying to get them just to come to Christ, it doesn't have to be Stone Harbor. It doesn't have to be you who drew them in, per se, but maybe they just heard it here. So it'd be a good, because everyone's saying so many good things, I'm thinking like, wow, I don't want to be the only guy talking to this guy at my bakery, you know what I mean? Yeah, so that was basically a gist.
But Ty intentionally tries to ask questions at work to stimulate conversation that leads people to a productive discussion about the gospel, and he thought how wonderful it would be if the church could actually complement that, maybe tag team that. And of course, what Ty is talking about, if you caught that or not, it would require that we actually know what people are interested in and we're actually speaking with some relevance that's connected to those things, which is not a small thing. We can speak about the glorious things of God, but the transition between the glorious things of God and the practical things of people's lives is somehow needs to be a bridge built there. So thanks, tie. I got a couple texts came in during the week, too. One from Becky. She said, I'd like to share some thoughts. She couldn't be here, but I'd like to share some thoughts about questions for today. She says, what we have to give is the gospel. I always thought about simply inviting people to church. They would come and hear the message, and I would hope that would spark interest or conversation, and they would want to come back. I think it might require more of me in relationship with those people, in that I would be talking to them and sharing with them way before I invite them to come to church, because they may not understand what they hear and may be confused, or worse, have no interest to return. So yes, we have the gospel, but it ought to be in my everyday and in my conversations with people in my life, and in that way bring them to church. So obviously that is the case, yes. We're not looking to develop a program where it's the church meets all needs, the organized church with the program of the church. We want to be living in such a way in the community, having relationship with people such that we're already sharing the gospel in and of our own by virtue of Christ in us, and so forth. Jonathan has his hand up. Yeah. Was that a comment?
Can you hold the microphone? Thank you, Evan. My comment is one thought I had during the 2 weeks is, how can we get off? We can help those in need by soothing the down chunk. And what I mean by that is, like, soothing the homeless, and soothing those who need our help. Maybe the unwilling to come because they think, well, who cares to hear? And we need to put ourselves out there and be willing to hear. So that's my comment.
Yvonne, can you get? Are you able to give us a summary statement?
So he said that we should reach out to people that are downtrodden and put ourselves out there, like maybe help people that are like the homeless, and that should be our goal, to put ourselves out there and reach out to people less fortunate than ourselves.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. That's good. I think what I'll do here, because I want to go to new comments like Jonathan's comment, I just want to say that we had input on the text from Bill also. We had community groups where Nancy and Debbie were talking about a wonderful idea that I think has a lot of merit, maybe sponsoring here at the church, a English as a second language, conversational English based on the Bible, where that you would read a passage of scripture and then conversationally give people opportunity who are learning English as a second language to engage in the meaning of that about that passage. And I thought, wow, that actually has some real possibilities. You know, we're a Christian church; you wouldn't hide the fact that, you know, we're using the Bible as curriculum. But I've taken ESL, and now I'm looking to learn how to have conversation, and it might be a great opportunity. So an idea like that. We had some brainstorming ideas that came out of our Tuesday group. The thought of identifying and publishing somehow in the web or on the window, you know, what is the purpose of life? Questions that people have, like, what's the purpose of life? And then give them answers that the scripture speaks to. We had a fun one that came up, says what to do with failure, and then gives them some wisdom from Scripture, and what to do with failure, subtitled, come and hear an expert speak. is there any hope? And the answer is yes, in the Scripture that provides it, and so forth. We thought of a brainstorming idea. We thought, well, how about showing a movie? Good sound system. We got a great projector that we don't use. Good sound system, big screen, showing a movie and then talking about it. The movie like that came up was like Avatar, that has spiritual implications, or The Shack, that has spiritual implications, but that you could maybe show the movie and then have a discussion from a Christian perspective, that type of thing, or a book club. Russ had a good idea on Thursday night Bible study. He said, hey, let's give away Bibles. Put Bibles outside there on the table and let people help themselves, and let the Bible have a little bit of guidance in it to take them through the gospel. Anyway, I was really excited to get all that input, but I'm excited to take this a little bit farther also with thoughts that you may have had. And so I know that I didn't totally capture your thoughts, and nor did I give everybody opportunity to speak further. So let's take this a little bit farther with a focus on the practical side, appreciating what God has given us, the very life that we live, love, hope, joy, the word of reconciliation, all these things that we have. How should we give it away in the community? More thoughts. Let's take it a little bit farther. What we're working towards is actually a plan, some action here, something that we can do as the body to be a part of God's plan, and something that we can do as a body that is actually so prayerful and true to His heart that it actually is not us on our own trying to run out ahead or to the right or to the left of God, but it is ourselves living out the life of Christ within us. Okay, so more thoughts.
You know, it's amazing to see the diversity of ideas, which it's a representation of the living body. You know, every part of the living body has a little role. So as we present the ideas, and we also have to have the person who's equipped to do that part to come forward.
Yeah, that reminds me of something Pastor Howie used to say. It's like something like, oh, you have a good idea? Okay, you do it. Great idea. They're thinking, okay, well, the pastor can do it. And the pastor passes the buck right back to the person. Okay.
Just a practical thing, I was thinking, just being in the community and going to the different businesses around here. Like I was talking to Johnny about getting the water down at the water store and just making our faces more, you know, known to the people that are actually here all the time and live here, and going to their farmers market and getting to know the different people and striking up relationships.
And me too.
And you too.
Thanks, Stacy and Tucker. Yeah, Stacy told me to go to get the water store. I thought you meant the watering hole. I've been hanging out down here at the English brewery. Oh, no. Well, that's good. Establishing relationships, obviously, it's tough to minister to someone that you don't have any sort of relationship with. No trust, no nothing. So good. Establishing relationships in the community as a kind of a step towards a gospel platform, if you will.
Great bakery. Bagel bakery.
Bagel bakery.
It may not be the, you know, actual, let's do this, but as Nancy was saying, the people that, you know, are coming up with these ideas, to we need to be equipped to do that. So in my mind, I see that people are gifted and talented, and they're actually doing things every day, whether it's their vocation or just their heart. So if you're saying, I love to read, what about a book club? I love theology, what about that? I love to teach, I'm a teacher, or I want to be able to have a homework club, you know, because that's my gift. What are you already doing that you can just transfer over, that you may not have thought is actually a ministry, but it can? Even if you don't, if it's a vocation they don't really like, you just have a skill. So the gal who ended up, we put a free roof on for her last year, she actually had a disabled daughter, and she knew how to fill out forms for people because she had to fill out forms for her disabled daughter. So when people, typically AIDS patients who often find themselves very isolated, needed to fill out paperwork in order to get services that they needed, she already had that. It was like, I know how to do that. So let's say you have had experience with medical, you know, issues. Translate that into, I already know that. I've been forced to have to deal with things that I might not even enjoy doing, but I have a vehicle because I've already done those things. So I guess that's kind of how I see it. So in our situation, we put on roofs. So how natural is it to put on a roof for somebody? I mean, that is just what we do. We know how to make things look better, you know, so we make things look better, you know, whether it's for our church or for other people, you know. So it just is seeing what you do and not discount it as if it's not a, if it's not that it's not important because it's so daily.
It's part of the gift that the Lord is giving you.
Exactly. So if you're a tent maker, make a tent, you know, for somebody in need, that kind of thing. And then bring that even to the body and say, hey, this is my heart. Do I have some volunteers to help me out? You know, or it's gotten bigger than I think. I just, you know, you just start with one, you know, and move on. So anyway.
Thank you. Yeah. And with that, I would discuss about the idea with like bringing in a Paul and Virginia Friesen and Kit at the same event to the thought that I have that is that, like, if you're a tent maker, make a tent, but maybe then sit in the tent with the person and and share the love of Christ. You know, that connection to the progress of the gospel through you, not discounting at all the practical help of the guy needs a tent. You know, someone's thirsty, by all means, give them a glass of water, that type of thing. But with also that thought that if we are going to participate with God in the greater purposes that He has of reconciling people to Himself, then that almost as a vehicle to convey love, as a and open doors for the gospel. And I at one time I thought that seemed sort of contrived, but at another thought it's I'd rather think of it maybe as purposeful. we reach out in love so that there would be that practical help brought, but possibly with that practical help as a springboard to the help that is actually most needed. Because if the man dies having a tent, but no hope in eternal life, if you will, then it is less beneficial than if you were to die having a tent and the hope of Christ.
The funny thing about that is that the gal who we put the free roof on last year, she calls me quite frequently. And she said, I'm coming. Her sister has sent us, you know, many thank you notes. But she said, I'm discovering, because she's total agnostic, I think, because of wounds from the past.
And she said, I'm discovering more and wanting to go back to church just because of who you guys are. I'm like, okay. So we have conversations quite frequently in correspondence. So that is, you know, the end result is because you have a hope that you have a hope. And if you don't have hope, then you don't have anything to give. But so they see that.
Yeah, you had mentioned the freezings and different things that we can invite people to. That seems like a really good way to reach out. And you think when Rondell talks about, you know, this gal, and I just think I can't help but to think about the confusion out there in the world, the people that have gone down certain paths that have disappointed or have not led to the real gospel. And to me, it seems like there's a lot of that out there and a lot of reasons that people stay away. And so something that we can, and it seems to me an event, you know, let's say that it's a freezing or a marriage thing or whatever, something that would be able to be the true gospel in, I don't know if it would just be one day event or one afternoon event, whatever it might be, that would just really inspire people that, you know what, maybe there is another side of this that I've not heard. There is hope. There is, you know, God loves me unconditionally. It's not about what I do, but what he did. Maybe what I've been fed is nothing but error, and I'm feeling that there's a truth here that I've not experienced. So in my mind, something that can really say, you know, here is the truth, come and hear it in an environment that's willing, that has nothing, you know, to gain or to lose, but is just acting in obedience and wanting to help those that are hurting. So however you do that, I think about a practical way of invitations. And as a church, people we come in contact with, the reality is we're trying to offer you, you know, freedom. We're trying to offer you hope. We're trying to offer you, you know, true joy, you know, and that's what comes with God's word. And to being able to get people to an event like that that can actually inspire them and give them hope would be pretty tremendous in my mind. And so we, as a church, we invite anybody we can to come and hear the truth that can set you free, in other words.
Great, thank you. For both of those comments, you know how Paul uses the language of fragrance, to be the fragrance of Christ. I was just thinking that, so you guys go out and you are believers in Christ with Christ in you, and you put on a roof. It's almost like pulling a brownie out of the oven. You can't help it, but it's going to smell good. And you it's going to smell like a brownie because it is a brownie. And so yeah, maybe the interaction with people representing Christ, even in things like that. I mean, it's a wonderful kindness to put on a roof. A good roof was probably pretty well appreciated last year. And that it's encouraging to me to hear, Rondell, that there is that stimulated ongoing conversation. And that ongoing conversation has all the more ability to afford opportunity to communicate the gospel. So, great. Habla español.
We have a whole, I don't know, maybe you're familiar with Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a whole curriculum too. It's a 9-week, I think, little thing that is about finances. So I know people, especially in this area, have to be struggling financially. It's a really difficult place to live and make ends meet. And it has all the attraction to entice people to spend money they don't have. And so to get their feet on the ground financially, I think, is part of sharing the gospel, because it gives them hope. Freedom. It gives them freedom. Yeah. And so, anyway.
There's that, too.
That's good. Just like people are predisposed to hearing, to maybe have a pre-existing interest in fostering a good marriage relationship. A lot of people have a pre-existing interest in proper financial management, feeling the stress of it all, wondering if they could be doing this better. And God's Word does have stuff to say on managing your finances. And at the same time, just like we've been talking, you couple that with the conscious sharing of the gospel that has the issues that lie behind proper financial management and the issues that are even more important. The whole thought of what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world? So we want to be the ones, I think, that we can meet people where they are, interest in marriage, interest in finances, interest in learning English as a second language, and so forth. But what we want to bring to them is the Christ and the gospel, and so forth. Yeah, I'm coming back to you, Lauren. Keep your hand down. Don't hold it up there. Lauren has a perspective on the youth, but she's reticent to share it. But I just want to give you the opportunity that maybe you can tell us a little bit about what the youth have needs of on the young adults. Anyway, no pressure. Just wondering.
So I'm struck. I mean, I hear great ideas and I'm encouraged by all those ideas, but I was struck by something you said about the window. And I was thinking along the lines of even, you know, Ty's questions. Yeah, I mean, you know, when people pass by, I mean, is there an opportunity to put up some kind of even different sign out that has different messages with different questions that might be addressed, you know, kind of week-to-week basis, so that when people pass by, you know, which routinely go by this building, do they stop and look and say, okay, something different that's taking place, right? Just to kind of highlight the presence that there is actually a church here. I don't know. Is it possible to put out a temporary kind of sign and put different messages on it, or put it across the window, like you said? What was the idea of the window? Can you just explore that a bit more?
Well, I was just trying to process. It came out. Somebody had an idea of putting something in the window. Was that Stacy's idea? I can't remember whose.
I think it was my idea.
Your idea.
With the white
whiteboard marker.
Whiteboards.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
As they are saying, one cool thing to do is put the the markers outside and said, do you have a question? And so they can write a question and we could answer it back.
Some of those people don't want
to see. Yeah. Will you be here weekly to erase the graffiti? Nancy's looking for some support. Anybody want to support Nancy on this one? Jonathan.
That's a way of someone to ask because a lot of people is just afraid of coming to the church. And so that would be the first step. I don't know what kind of question they would post, but we could put the structures on the question.
Maybe if it wasn't just a whiteboard, I was thinking it could be pen and pencil and a place to put those questions in a box or something. And one of the other cool things that's popping up around the neighborhoods are little libraries, sharing libraries. So along the line with what Russ was saying with the Bibles, we could do that with any other like little simple literature. You know, or things that you might want to say about who you are, and inviting them in that they could just take a brochure and read it.
Okay, good. So, can we all go on record here saying that we should not put spray cans out on the
I was thinking along the lines of the little library because with mom and kids, so if there's a lot of moms walking by this area with kids and strollers, they want a lot of curriculum to look at or books for their kids. So if we have it like based on like Christian books, then we can put that in there for the kids to read, and then they could drop something off in there, and then we could see what they're interested. So,
okay, I like the creative juices that are flowing. Did you have something to say? Okay. Huh, back here at Lauren. Kimber's right behind her. Kimber, what do you think? You usually sum things up so simply.
Well, with me working with golfers, so there's always times for me to bring up stuff, and I do. But sometimes I work with the same caddies, and once I develop a friendship with these caddies, they go, how come you're so different than the rest of us? And I have shared. So you have to make friendships first.
So Kimber lives the life of Kimber in front of people, and people ask, how come you're so different? Way to go, Kimber. So Rondell's thinking, asking Lauren whether or not a game night would be fun for kids. Yeah, do kids still do game nights, or have they eclipsed?
Yeah, I don't know.
Picking on a girl who's got 24 hours sleep. Oh, I know. See, Lauren, you're a hidden treasure, Lauren. I know that you have good things to say. That's why I'm picking on you.
Well, in regards to, like, the younger kind of churchgoers, like, people who are teenagers and, like, young 20s, mid-20s, I would think that what they need is kind of a place to go where they feel like they can be safe, where they feel like they can share what's on their minds, thoughts that they have, insecurities that they might have. And in that respect, we'd be able to bring them the scripture. We'd be able to bring them Christ, let them know that they're not as alone as they think they are, because I know that that's a really big insecurity among that age group. And to do that, you have to kind of start up conversations with them, like, hi, my name's so-and-so, and what do you do? And are you having fun with what you're doing? And kind of start a friendship with them first and get them to open up, because they are generally kind of closed off sometimes. So you have to get them to open up first, and then they can see that you're different and bring them the scripture that way and be like, I know where there's a safe place that you can go. We can talk about it there. It's important to have that space for them.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Yeah, I know. I could just. Oh no, I was just going to say, I thought that was a good idea, and then talking about the youth and being closed off or just kind of shy kind of thing. The same idea with that, with you saying put the box outside, you know, with the writing or writing on the thing. Once young people, I don't see them write anymore. Like, it's usually like social media type stuff, that if you had the same thing out on the box that maybe had a website where anyone passing by could simply even text in their car their questions. And so we could just go through the questions here, like off the phone, and be like, oh, here's a question. You know, here's one interesting. Just because they so often, I don't see pencil and paper anymore. That's all.
Good point. Pencil and paper.
Okay, I just said, just like the social media aspect, just making an Instagram account or something.
She thinks that's a great idea. Social media, Instagram, employing those, that has definitely come up. A commercial? Who watches TV anymore?
I do kind of agree with both the box and the social media, because it is a good idea to have the shy people, the younger shy people, be able to ask questions, but it's also important that they get answers, but not feel like they're like pressured to be all eyes on you kind of question until they're ready for it. And the response is just as important, because if you don't respond to them, they feel like, why did I even bother reaching out?
So social media backed up by quick response.
I agree with that. I know how that feels. Yeah.
When you don't get the response back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So social media, that's actually dynamic. I mean, not just a dead end, one way tweet.
As you're talking about this subject about the youth, it just brings to mind. Suzanne and I were believers, but we came up through the Catholic Church up until we came out here. We were members of the Catholic chapel at the Naval Postgraduate School. And it was Corey meeting Kara and Monica at Monterey High and their involvement with the youth program that brought us to Shoreline and why we're here. And I see that that was powerful for us, because we've always had the faith, but it really became more abundant and more of like a lifestyle than just the thing we did on Sunday, which was, I think we were rooted, you know, in the doctrine, but weren't living it as much as we have since Shoreline and now here. So I think that has value, because I think that the parents sometimes, we think often that it's the parents that influence the kids, but at a certain age, there's that reciprocal process as well. And if they find something that's true and meaningful and real, that their parents may see the change in them, and that can be an attraction in and of itself. So I think youth programs can be very, very powerful. The only thing I would add, though, is a lot of things you brought up. The one that, Rondell, you brought up about what do you have. We've mentioned this before. We've never taken any action with it, is the music. I mean, there's a lot of kids that like to come to get together to learn and just be able to play, you know, with a group. And so having a ministry here that's like music oriented, that could be a good youth program. But I think some of the things that I saw in the model that, you know, when Jason ran the youth group at Shoreline, the activities that they did met the kids where they were at, whether it was a snow, you know, winter camp, you know, snowboarding and skiing in the mountains, or the summer was usually the Hume getaway. And it's that activities that the kids want to get out, have adventure, and have a good time, be physically active, but yet there's a vehicle there for transferring the message of the gospel. So I think there's a lot of, we could probably do a lot in that realm to do good things for the community and bring people in.
Thanks. I couldn't help but remember the when we started Stone Harbor, we did a ski trip. Went up to the mountains. Garrett Long was there and snapped his femur right there on the hill. I the local hospital up there sent him down in my car. No, was it my car? No, it wasn't. Oh, I brought him to the local hospital. That's what it was. Anyway, they moved his leg to see how his mobility, and the bottom part of his leg moved and the top didn't. It was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah, that worked out real well, that ski trip, Dave. Okay. Lots of ideas floating around, and thank you for thinking. We can go a little bit farther. We haven't heard anything from Leslie yet. Leslie, you got anything to say in this conversation at this time?
I'm kind of surprised. I did share with Johnny in the table on Tuesday, and my thought didn't get brought forward. And I said it three times just to make sure. I thought it sounded like a good idea. Johnny said, how can we show the body that we love the body? And I said, well, group hug. and not one person moved towards me. So I said it again. I say that, but I also mean it in that, in the way that we do interact with each other and respond to each other and connect with each other and love on each other, not necessarily in the way that we know love looks like, but in the way that we know that love of the Lord looks like, longing for His best in each one of our lives, even at the our own peril for your sake, should be the thing that seems to percolate to the top. That's undeniable then for those people that all these great ideas, I hope, bring in. When they come in and they see and feel and experience a love that's otherworldly that we have for each other, that's the best witness. The passage that I read today, Becky tells me oftentimes I should explain it before I read it or explain it after I read it, because they don't know where it is that necessarily I'm thinking when I choose some of the things that I share. And sometimes even knowing what I'm thinking doesn't help. But I will tell you that I continue to wrestle with what it looks like to see God's love at work in and amongst us and between us and collective. And Rod brought forward that it's easier to imagine that in a family dynamic, but I would long for us to not even have to apply it in the family dynamic, because that's what we are family. And Rondell is right that each one of us has something inherently in us that we're already doing or we're already exercising that can and will meet the need of the other who's been gifted in a different way, and that is how the body works. I'm a hand, but I do need a foot to get me to the place where I can then operate as a hand. And Dave said that, you know, we did come up with some ideas, but we didn't necessarily enact on it. And all of these wonderful ideas, even Johnny made the joke, but the pastor of one church did say, that's a great idea, go do that. Being one of the ones that's alongside Johnny trying to make those things a reality, I welcome you to join me in doing those things. If you want to put a message out there, show up with a whiteboard and a marker, and you and I together will go put that out there. But it not just requires great ideas, it requires willing hands. And even Scripture says the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Let's everyone in this room be laborers, not just great idea people, but let's all be laborers in making this a reality. And I do want the hug. So, group hug.
I'm good. She said that three times. Group hog. What does that mean? Group hog. Never have been able to understand that one. Just kidding. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these ideas. May they be ideas. May the ones that find root in anything apart from you just kind of wither away. And may the ones that come from you, that are actually your ideas working through us, may those find good purchase in fertile soil, Lord God. And may we be willing, as the first disciples were willing, to expend, invest a significant resource in making these things a reality, and being used by you to accomplish your work, Lord. It costs the original disciples their lives. It is very likely that if we are to move forward in the pattern of your people in the world, that there will be opposition, conflict, cost. May we count those costs and move forward with great willingness because of the superlative value of the gospel. Lord, may we be truly your witnesses in every way that you intend us to be. In Christ's name, amen.